You may be seated, ladies and gentlemen, and would you please take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. My message this morning is entitled, Love is Always the Answer. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Love is always the answer. Rarely do you get your messages from God the same way. He's a God who loves variety, and don't we all? But in this particular instance, when I was fellowshipping with him with a variety of options, asking him what he wanted, he said, tell him about my love. Love is always the answer. And that is the biggest problem we actually have, consciously and subconsciously. I'd like us to look at verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves, you're born of God, and you know God. You've had this encounter, this life-changing experience. He who does not love does not know God. Isn't that interesting? You just don't know God. I don't care what you say you know, or who you say you know, or where you say you're coming from. You don't know God, because God is love. And how can you know God and have encountered God and experienced God and say you know God and talk to God and visit with God and God visits with you, and you don't live by love? But then God has never rubbed off on you. And how can you have a relationship with anyone who doesn't rub off on you? I mean, even people and their dogs begin to look like each other.
Yeah.
It's the funniest, let alone people, you know? And the problem is this. And to address love, and there's a lot to say about it, we have to go beyond just saying, yes, I live by love, I did this and I do that. And I have to ask you a question that I'd like you to ask yourselves. It is this: what is at your core? What is at your core? Love or fear? Because I'm convinced that theologically, as far as God is concerned, you're either love or fear. Yeah. Now, we've heard a lot about our core beliefs over the years, and I've taught a lot about that, quoted some very famous people on that subject. But I must say again that your core, or your heart, is at the center of your being. And from it emanates everything you think, say, and do, whether you're aware of it or not.
Yes.
Your core operates subconsciously as well as consciously. It operates in the invisible, silent realm of your inner being. And when the Old Testament prophets promised, I will take their stony hearts out, I'll put a soft heart in, and I'll put my spirit within them, he was speaking of our core. And I'll tell you what, nothing will make you more stony-hearted than fear. I'll say that again. Nothing will make you more stony-hearted than fear. And nothing will make you more soft-hearted than love. Mm-hmm. And when he says, I'll put in you a soft heart of flesh and I'll put my spirit in you, I believe he's addressing the same problem. He says, you've had this stony heart of fear from which you've operated from the subconscious. You've learned it all your life. Some of you got that stony heart from before you were born, and you've operated from that place of fear all your life, and you've never stopped to analyze why you do what you do, because you've been so busy analyzing others and what they do.
Exactly.
You've never had a good look at yourself, because you're too busy looking at others. You're too busy trying to puff up this lonely, stony heart of yours, because it's afraid. And you're going to do something, and you don't know what to do, and the options are out there, and the best thing to do is to shift it from you to someone else and make you the victim of them or it or that.
Yes.
what psychologists call man's core, beliefs determines everything. I have one sentence I want you to remember for the rest of your life. They prescribe your prophetic destiny. Your core beliefs determine how high you'll go and how low you will sink. I don't care how hard you try, how many decisions you make, how much education you get under your belt, but your core beliefs will determine, and that's that, what you will be and won't be, what you will say, what you'll think, how you'll respond at every reaction of yours. I say that because I want to emphasize this. I believe without fail, you've either got fear at your core or love. Now, I'm going to go beyond the stony cold heart of a lost person and the spiritlessness, the death spirit that's in the lost, to the fact that you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit. He has taken your hard heart out. And now what do you have? You still have your core beliefs that have to be changed. Doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you're operating under the authority and by the auspices of beliefs that have been in you since you were in the womb and that have perhaps passed down from generations and that you picked up as a child watching your mother and then responding to your father, that you picked up from books you read and movies you saw. You are still, you see, the interesting thing is that we are very vulnerable when the stony heart is taken out of us. We are impressionable.
That's right.
That's why you have such marvelous reactions from a babe in Christ. They will give anything, think anything, believe anything, do anything. They are the energy of the church. Why? Because they have been set free from the stony, hard heart. They have a new spirit inside them, and they are ready to believe and receive and respond.
Sure.
Now is time to say, let's get rid of fear that is at everyone's core, and the unbelief and the bitterness that it wants to produce, and replace it with the love and the hope that every Christian should be full of.
Amen.
The reason so many people need inspiration outside of themselves, extra, is because they've never learned satisfaction from the core. They've never replaced that core of fear, and as a result, it is continually spewing its need. And you and I were not designed to survive, override the continual bombardment of fear and hardness that's coming out of a core that has never been changed or replaced. God can take your stony heart out of you. He can put his spirit in you. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And your mind is the gate through which, at least one of them, through which you feed and filter all the way down to your core beliefs. I will say this again. You will only go as far as your core beliefs allow you. Not because you see a red light. Not before you see it, because you see a hand up there saying stop, but because you will have natural restrictions in conversation, in appreciation, in aptitude, in how you respond to what's going on around you, in your approach to people, in what you will name love and what you'll require from love. What you will do and won't do, what will appeal to you and won't appeal to you. Here you thought you had this grand response, this grand feeling, this grand desire, and in actual fact, your core belief was dictating a certain necessity. And I'm here to say to you this morning that thank God he's taken our stony heart out of us. Thank God he's put his spirit in us to shine as the lamp of the Lord in us. But now, thank God for Christians who are willing to have a good look at themselves. And even perhaps go one step further and say, you know, one of the best indicators of how I am responding to life is to ask up. By that I mean don't ask the sucker with the same problems you got, because he'll lie to you and you lie to him. But go to a minister, go to an anointed person and say, do you see anything here? Would you help me? I'll get into that. That's not my thrust right now. We also know that when love fills your core, well, let me go back a sentence. We all know that fear grows unbelief and ultimately bitterness. When that's at your core, you become a very negative human being, yes. A very ugly human being. We also know that when love fills your core and establishes your beliefs, that your life will be filled with faith and optimism. That is the difference between those two kinds of Christians. The one is full of unbelief and ultimately bitterness, and they're always challenging you and challenging everybody. But don't worry, they're also always challenging themselves. They can never settle on a truth because fear won't let them. What a thought. And when love is at the core, the opposite happens. They're filled with faith and optimism. The yes in them is so big it almost bowls them over. When the disciples said, Lord, is it I? When he spoke of the one who would betray him, you can see people who had replaced fear with love. And they weren't afraid to say, you know, I'm wrong. One of the greatest indicators of a damaged core are people who can't afford to be wrong. People who can't afford to be corrected. People who can't afford to say, I need to learn. People who can't afford to say, would someone tell me? Because they consider it a challenge. And what in the world could be challenging about that? I'll tell you what, core fear. Yes. Everything about you consciously and subconsciously is determined by either fear or love. And one decision won't get rid of fear, and one decision will not bring about love. It is going to take a feasting on the truth. Yes. You know, we sung this last song about Jesus and setting us free. I'm telling you, you're going to have to sing that song a whole lot.
Yes.
You're going to have to think about it, feast on it, memorize it, say it over and over again. And I'll give you the formula to get out in just a little bit. A fear-filled core belief will break you. People become discouraged. They become down on themselves and everything. They just become unable anymore. Yeah. You can completely dismantle a person's ability to get up and get going. A love-filled core belief will make you into the new creation person Jesus already is, and he purchased for you to be today by faith. Amen. In the cross. Fear at the core leads to denial and dishonesty. Love at the core leads to recognition and honesty. You know, you say, what are you trying to do here? You know, actually, I'm trying to get you to think a little bit, not figure out your wife.
Right.
I'm trying to get you to say, wouldn't you like to be free in your core belief?
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you to confess to your wife and your child, I'm not playing that game with you. I'm just saying this core belief of yours can be changed. But you can't change something you don't see needs to be changed. And as long as you're in denial and keeping it in the dark and aren't going to bring it into the light of God's truth and God's fellowship and God's people, I've got news for you. It'll stay that way. I'm totally convinced that there's more to confessing your faults to one another than we give credit. Because I don't think we should be going around telling everyone our worst points, because that sounds to me like you want attention.
Right.
You should not be confessing your faults for attention or retention.
Right.
But there's another side to it, however. And by the way, if you need to confess your faults to your authorities, you better do so, and that'll help you and clear you. And until you confess your faults to your authority, I don't believe for a moment you can be healed. Because the whole context of that healing was that. But there is this side. What in the world did the Bible give us? Matthew 18:4, and becoming as a little child, being the greatest in the kingdom, if it didn't have some significance to the spirit of our faith and the necessity for our core beliefs to be like a child.
Right. Yeah.
I tell you what, it takes a rotten wife and a rotten husband to produce kids who end up to be little sods. Where in the world did they get all that from? Now, are you trying to get me depressed? No, I don't want to get you depressed. I'm not trying to get you on a guilt thing either. But what I'm trying to get you to understand right here and now is we're not talking about anyone's core beliefs but yours. And I'm asking you to address your core beliefs. And I'm saying, aren't you sick and tired of seeing about the freedom of Christ and not having that freedom and trying to put it on and going after it? You're chasing the wrong thing. At the core of this is your core belief. That's the problem. Because every time you hear freedom, it's got to get through that fear in your core. And nothing survives fear. Fear is dark. Fear is a killer. Fear is evil. Fear in your core belief is the closest thing to having a hard, unbelieving heart for like a lost person. I mean, you got saved and took one step over. And you are saved, and thank God you're saved. But you're so close in your responses to how a lost person is, it's outrageous. And many Christians, more than we care to confess, live that way their entire lives. And among that group is the greatest percentage of quitters to the church and to the call. Because they can't survive their call. They find someone or something to blame.
Yeah.
But the truth be told, there's a very fearful thing inside you. And that is the problem. And you must address it if you want to enjoy freedom. It'll make you proud. It'll make you insufficient. I mean, I could go through a spectrum of words that'll just blow your mind. Because you see, God never made us to have fear at our core. In the beginning, we had love at our core. We replaced it, and in 5 minutes' time, Adam and Eve were afraid and hid themselves. And that's what your core is doing to you. If you have fear in your core, you're hiding yourself from the truth. You're hiding yourself from your friends. You're hiding yourself from your family. You're hiding yourself from yourself. And now then you try to come to church and be happy. You try to find a verse and get a blessing out of it. You try to do something for God. And now, you see, no one's questioning your sincerity. But if you're sincerely in trouble, what's the use of your sincerity?
Exactly.
I shared this on the river in Miami. The Haitians used to bring these old dilapidated wooden boats, 90, 100, 110 feet long, up the river, dock them there, do their repairs, and put all their stuff on there, and then go back to Haiti. And invariably, one would show up with gaping big holes in the hull, big holes right there at the waterline. And you would see those Haitians on a floating dock with a sheet of 8x5 plywood, a hammer and nails, and hammering it over the hole. And I used to look at that and say, you think that's going to last the first storm? You say, what do you say to me? I'm going to tell you here and now. Some of you are on a raft next to your ship. And you can see these gaping holes, and you keep trying to nail sheets of plywood over those holes, and it just lasts until the next storm. You see, God loves you. And it's hard for your core beliefs to accept this, but so do I. And our ministry is here to help you, not to embarrass you, not to hurt you, not to make a fool of you, not to show you where you're wrong, but as I have written here, give them hope. Do you give the people good advice or good news? The fact of the matter is, I put that there. You didn't put it there and hope that I would catch on. But the truth is, until you throw away the sheets of plywood and the nail and the hammer and say, I got holes in this baby, and fear keeps aborting my good intentions, it keeps aborting my faith, it keeps on robbing me of the blessing, I find myself fighting the very thing that means the most to me. Until you stop blaming this, that, or the other thing and say, you know what? I've got fear in my core belief and it has to be replaced with love, or I will remain dysfunctional and I will also remain disabled. I won't be able to live the blessed life. Not because God hasn't blessed me. Not because I haven't got all it takes. Not because I don't have access to every blessing in heavenly places in Christ. But because at my core is an enemy. Fear. And fear affects my mind. It affects my feeling. It affects everything about me. Fear affects my spirit, man. You can say you now have the perfect Holy Spirit in you until you're blue in the face. You can say you have the Spirit of truth in you, the Spirit of holiness in you, the Spirit of the living God in you, have the Spirit of hope in you. Then why are you so bad off?
Right. That's the truth.
The fact of the matter is you can have all of that, but all of that is submissive to your core beliefs.
Yes, it is.
Don't think core belief, explanatory style, affirmations. At your core, for whatever the reason. It doesn't matter who you can blame or what you can blame. Well, you have no idea how hurt I got, honey. I'm very sorry. I'm genuinely hurt for you. But it's not going to help us talking about this thing. I want to know, not who hurt you, but I want to know why you're hanging on to fear.
Yeah.
I want to know why you have built your entire saved life on a faulty premise. Fear. I want to know why you have forced yourself to be comfortable with fear and call it something else. I want to know why you have chosen to transfer your fears to others to see in them what you don't approve of in yourself. Well, how do we identify our core belief system? First of all, I want to say this. The scriptures have a simple answer. By their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. And I've got a couple of scriptures I want you to turn to and read with me before we get to the solution of this. And there is a solution in Matthew chapter 12. Are we getting somewhere here?
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, I shall look. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. And we've so often reduced that to cigarette smoking.
Right.
Or one of the other famous advices that we like to beat to death, as though that was really our problem. He said, brood of vipers, that's not very nice. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Here we go, the famous verse, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, I'm not trying to get to that latter part, though it's all principally true. What I'm trying to say is this. Let's not look at the fruit necessarily as something you're committed to doing for good for God. Let's look at the fruit, rather, the fruit of your responses. The fruit of your joy. The fruit of how you treat others. The fruit of how you feel about yourself in Christ. The fruit of your hope. Now that's a different level of fruit.
Yeah.
In actual fact, in one sense, it's a fruit that none of us can pinpoint continually, but you suffer through all the time. And because we were not made to suffer, we compensate. Some of the greatest vices and bondages ever were created by people who didn't know how to respond to life and its temptations, because fear, the core in their hearts, kept them afraid, kept them unbelieving, kept them bitter, and therefore blaming others, and therefore they justified themselves with excuses. And I'm not here to bring any of that up. You notice that I'm not even giving you a list. I'm here to say you don't want that. That's not who you have become. That's not what you are all about. It's a lie. But let's identify the fact that this does exist so that we know where it came from and can deal with it. And stop saying it's the devil, you need to be delivered or something else. Now, I'm not questioning you may need to be delivered from something, because I'm a firm believer in deliverance. Deliverance saved my life, and not three deliverances. So many that I began to wonder if Legion wasn't a good man. So I'm not against deliverance. But I'll tell you what I am against. I am against lying to yourself and not identifying fear for what it is. Now, is your life and the fruit of your life a product of fear or of love? And I'll say this, we all need God's help to know and change our core beliefs. I would like you to turn to a very, very famous and well-known scripture in Psalm 139, if you would, please. We're winding down now. Two verses. How do we do this? How do we know and change our core beliefs? Psalm 139, are we there? Verses 23 and 24. The psalmist says, "Search me, O God, dear beloved David, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me in the Hebrew literally means penetrate and examine intimately. God, I want you to penetrate my inner being and examine me intimately. Have you ever asked God to do that? That's some serious examination. Then he says, try me, and in the text from the Hebrew, it literally means to test. Investigate my actions. Try me. Test me. Why is he saying these things? This man wanted to know about his core beliefs. I'm telling you here and now. He was saying, I need you to go beyond what I can see right now. I need you to go beyond what I can deal with right now and understand right now. I need you to do a work in my life to evaluate what's going on so that you can tell me. He says, see if there be in any wicked way in me. And that is the word to behold or to discern. I want you to behold. I want you to take heed of what's going on inside me and all, and my reactions and my responses. Was I want to put love where this fear is? And then he says, lead me in the way everlasting. And I believe that's that core of love. And that word lead there means to guide or transport me out. Transport me out of this fear thing. Transport me into love in my core. I mean, I'm walking by faith in love. And I believe in love. I am memorizing love. And I'm meditating on love. But my core beliefs have issues. There's a lot of fear there. A lot of darkness and unbelief. A lot of bitterness sometimes. A lot of no. And I'm tired of saying no to no. I'm tired of attacking this. I want to take it out. And I know a miracle service could do it. But until such a service comes my way, I need to change my core beliefs. Because there's some things I believe inside me I don't want to believe anymore. And I'm not even sure what they are. But I know they all add up to F-E-A-R somehow, somewhere. And I can't bear it any longer. I'm through with it. I declare war on it. My God, help me. Amen. I want to close with a psalm I thought was most penetrating. God turned me to this. So I believe it's a good one. Psalm 80. Would you turn there, please, ladies and gentlemen? This battle he was having with God over his shishi. Psalm 80, verse 14 through 19. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine and the vineyard which you or your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. What an incredibly beautiful invitation, a confession of need, and an invitation for God to do a little surgery on the inside. To say, Lord, I'm going to be entering into a season with you in which you will be investigating me under a variety of circumstances that you will set up from heaven that will show you what's going on in my heart so that you can help me to see what the core is doing down there. Areas of fear that I need to get rid of and replace with love, because it is the desire of my heart that you restore me, O Lord of hosts, because I belong to you and that's the desire of my heart. I want to live by love. I believe love is always the answer. And I want to respond to love. I want to be filled with this love. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And I thank you for that. But I tell you, my core belief cuts it down at the knees, at the ankles. And it doesn't have the desired effect. And I'm tired of that. You know I love you. You know I want to serve you. But I want to apologize to you for not addressing these core beliefs before now. But Lord, in your prophetic agenda, I see it's time. Even as you've declared war on these negative core beliefs, I, in Jesus' name, choose to declare war on these negative, fearful core beliefs and say, God help me, because by the time you and I are finished with this baby, these core beliefs are going to be full of love, so that my explanatory style is an explanation of love, so that my affirmations out of my mouth and my life and my experience show that I'm living by love, because that's what I believe in, that's what saved me, that's where I'm headed, and I will have nothing less in the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of Almighty God. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad I came. Amen. So do we thank you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you.
So do we put our hope and trust in you, Lord Jesus. So do we say by your Spirit within us, search us and know us and try us and see and lead us out of this, baby. From fear to love.
Amen.
Is our goal for the rest of this year. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Well, there you have it. Aren't you glad you came? Amen. I'm glad I came. I got a blessing out of this thing. Holy Spirit said he'd do something special and something unique for us, and I believe he did. Praise his holy, matchless name. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your believing, so that you are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. I miss you already. I wish you were